Michael J. for Hope for the Warriors. Started back in 06 at Camp Lejeune. Military families witnessing the effects of war on their loved ones. Now, almost 20 years later, they've aided over 53,000 service members, veterans, and families with confidential, high-quality behavioral health care services at little or no cost. To post 9/11 vets and their families, over 91% of every dollar donated goes directly to the programs. If you're as concerned about our heroes as I am, go to hopeforthewarriors.org.
Hello and welcome to Film Companion. You've tuned in to the latest film review with Anupama Chopra. To catch more of what we do, visit us on www.filmcompanion.in.
Who is there? One of the subjects of your kingdom. This exchange takes place in Joji, the third film by one of Malayalam cinema's dream teams, director Dilish Pothan, writer Shyam Pushkaran and actor Fahad Fasil. Joji is a reworking of Macbeth, and while these words might suggest a period setting, Shakespeare's tragedy has been reimagined in contemporary times on a sprawling rubber plantation in Kerala. But Joji, the youngest of three brothers, is very much a subject of his father's kingdom. Kuttappan PK, played by a superb P.N. Sunny, is a formidable patriarch who controls his domain with an iron fist. Our first visual of him is doing pull-ups, suspending his sturdy body in mid-air. A little later, he extricates a valve stuck in mud in a pond, a job that three men before him tried to do together and failed. Kuttappan, like Shammi in Kumbhalangi Nights, also written by Shyam, is a poster boy for toxic masculinity. He equates manhood with physical strength and is horrifically abusive to his sons. The eldest, Jomon, a terrific performance by Babu Raj, is a divorced alcoholic. The middle, Jason, camouflages his rage and claustrophobia and dutifully handles the accounting of their vast estate. And Joji, an engineering dropout, concocts fanciful plots to get rich but spends most of the day lolling around. Early in the film, Kuttappan presses down hard on his chest and calls him a second-rate loser. He instructs Joji to eat shit and never complain. The script faithfully follows the dramatic principle of Chekhov's gun, that if a gun is introduced in the first act, it must go off in the third. The film begins with a courier boy carrying a package to the estate. As the opening titles roll, we see how far he has to travel to deliver his order. We also see Jomon's son Puppy waiting eagerly to receive it. Within a few minutes, Dilish expertly establishes the spaces of their house and an understated dread. We instinctively understand that this home, literally and metaphorically, lies outside the purview of civilization. Anything is possible here. It's telling that, like in Kumbhalangi Nights, this is also a home teeming with men. Jason's wife, Binsi, is the lone woman in the mix. She's largely confined to the kitchen, but she plays a pivotal role in furthering the bitter tale that unfolds. Binsi, played superbly by Unnimaya Prasad, quietly furthers her agenda. However, she seems to be driven not so much by greed as just a desire for freedom from the tyranny of Kuttappan. You get the feeling that Binsi, who's smarter than the men around her, simply wants an opportunity to breathe. Joji's motives are more complex. With every film, Dilish and Shyam seem to be reimagining Fahad in more twisted and darker ways. In their first, Mahesh Shinte Pratikaram, he played an ordinary man seeking revenge after he's publicly humiliated. In their second, Thondi Muthalam Drikshaksyam, for which Shyam wrote the dialogues, Fahad played a thief and liar who still retains an essential decency and humanity. But in Joji, he becomes something else. An unstable misfit, frustrated by failure and haunted by his own inadequacy. A man capable of unnerving duplicity who discovers, as Noah Cross so memorably said in Chinatown, that at the right time and right place, people are capable of anything. At one point in the film, Binsi tells Joji to put on a mask and come. The film was made during the pandemic and characters wear masks in public spaces as a matter of course. But that seemingly ordinary line takes on a deeper meaning because it encapsulates Joji's life. His real feelings are usually buried underneath a mask of servility and familial concern. Fahad delivers a performance within a performance. It's stunning. Joji doesn't adhere to Macbeth's plot as faithfully as Vishal Bharadwaj's Makbul, which I consider the gold standard of Shakespeare in Indian cinema. It's a much looser adaptation. The character of Joji doesn't exude the domed nobility of Makbul. In fact, Joji is a coward. Dilish also does away with frills. There are no songs, the humor is dark, there's this terrific tragicomic thread with the local priest, and the visuals are stark. DOP Shaiju Khalid, who created those shimmering frames in Kumbhalangi Nights, goes for unvarnished textures. Their house, where much of the film is set, doesn't exude the warmth or intimacy of a home. Justin Verghese's background score, Kiran Das's editing, and Ganesh Marar's sound design skillfully intensifies our anxiety. Dilish's great talent is his ability to humanize his characters and find drama and comedy in slice-of-life narratives. In Joji, he steps out of this comfort zone and creates a film that's haunting and deeply unsettling. Toward the end, the plot gets too blunt, but this tale of greed and guilt, crime and punishment will stay with you. You can watch Joji on Amazon Prime Video.
If you liked what you just tuned into, then subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, and Radio Public. You can now also follow Film Companion on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.